Hello, and welcome back to the Lighthouse Letters. It has been a minute for me. I have been really, really busy, and I'll get into it. But today's episode is titled Born Loved, and it's to the little ones who don't yet know they are loved, and to the grown-up ones who forgot. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I am talking to you. Don't you ever forget just how loved you are. Hello, wayward ships. Welcome back to the Lighthouse Letters. The lamp is lit. The sea is calm. For now. And wherever you are, I hope you found your way here with a cup of tea and something cozy nearby. Maybe it's socks. Big sweater. Ooh. Don't you love putting on a big, like an overly large sweater? And it just wraps you up. There's probably something in human psychology about the idea that we love being just cozied up in something. The yapping dog is back. I don't know if you can hear. Oh, there's a standoff between the yapping dog and somebody else. They're not even on my street. If I look outside, I cannot see any dog. And yet, the voices carry, the yapping carries. Well, you know what? Life is unfiltered. You get dog sounds if you can hear it. I turned 30. Thanks, dog. Which still feels wild to say out loud. Most other birthdays in my 20s, I think because being in your 20s is inherently a little bit sexy. There's something really cool about saying, I'm 26, I'm 27. And 30, I think... Actually, you know what I mean? follow me here. The train of thought is that I think it's because of the way the consonants sound. There are certain consonants that just sound good. Like an X is almost always sexy. A T is almost always sexy. 30, the TH is a less sexy sound. And the only reason, it's not Frisian, I am thinking about this is because there's actual experiments done. Like that woman who did the TED talk where she said, if I showed you this shape and I told you it was called a boomba, you would know. You'd say, yes, that exactly. And it's a squiggly, like all rounded edges. And it's like a very organic shape. And then the other one, I can't remember what she named it, but it was something sort of aggressive sounding and it was all spiky. And it just felt right. And she was talking about linguistics and how sometimes the way that we name things are the way that we end up perceiving them. So anyways, I think 30 just feels different because it sounds different. Maybe, perhaps in a different language where 30 sounds cooler, people feel cooler. I don't know. I spent my birthday exactly how I wanted to, which was surrounded by people I love. In a space that I made my own, playing trivia about me. And I know that sounds really self-indulgent because for a long time I also thought it was self-indulgent. Who makes an entire trivia about themselves? Birthdays, yes, are about you, but in a way that to me I used to feel really shy about. I guess not like, don't celebrate me, but just in a way of I wouldn't be here without you guys and deflecting the compliment to the group that I was with. And while is that is true, I would not be here without my community. I think being 30, there's a intrinsic ownership that comes with the territory of like, well, but I also couldn't have been here without myself. God damn it. I did a lot of work to be here and be 30, flirty and thriving. And on that day, it felt right. Like I was saying, hey, I'm here. I've made it. Do you see me? And the answer was, yeah. It was so nice. And so I think because in my 20s, I felt really, every day was really special. Like every birthday was really special, even when they weren't. I mean, I didn't celebrate a lot of my late 20s in terms of doing things because by the time I got around to planning, I was like way too busy or the weather wasn't right. And now I'm like, you know what? There are no rules. Now in my wizened age, There's no rules. You can make them up as you go. You have free will. You can do whatever you want. And so I'm having a 4-part birthday series because I can. And I hope people come because it's going to be really fun. But I've already had two of them, and that was freaking awesome. And I want to sort of scale them as I go, because the summer is right around the corner and I can actually have more people in larger spaces in a cost-effective way to ensure the maximum return on the gathering. I just did a lot of work today. I just heard how that came. Like, midway through saying that, I felt it. You know what I mean? I felt it sound really corporate jargony. And I'm so, so, so sorry, because it's hard to shake when you've been working on a proposal all day and tried to make it palatable for corporate America. And there's a whole different, anyways, linguistics clearly is at the forefront of my mind, because there's a whole different way to speak to people in different positions, especially if they really care about positions. And within the structure of corporate America, if you don't say it right, it doesn't mean what you want it to mean. People cannot use context clues. People are also kind of dumb, and you have to idiot proof it without telling them that they're the idiots. And that is a dance that I am still learning how to cha-cha with, okay? Anyways, part one of today that I wanted to talk about was about being seen and throwing a party about it. Let's talk about the trivia night. Not because I need you to know which soup dumpling makes me cry, although it is Xiaolongbao, obviously, because, oh gosh, like, somebody just decided that they were going to make a dumpling that, did you know? So the reason why a soup dumpling is so good and exists, which I should probably start at the beginning. A soup dumpling is essentially what the name suggests. It's a dumpling with soup in it, but also a filling of usually pork or beef. And you might be wondering, Allison, how do they put the soup inside the dumpling? That's a liquid. To which the answer is, when they make the filling, the soup has a decent amount of fat in it, and the filling is refrigerated so that the soup hardens into a solid state and can be folded into the dumpling ingredients. Then it's folded, it's placed in the dumpling wrapper, and the dumpling wrapper is sealed around it. And then as you steam it, the soup that has solidified because of the cold warms up and becomes soup again, and sort of bathes all the other filling in the soup and bastes it, self-basting. Don't even go there. And then you have a Xiaolongbao. And it's so, somebody invented that. And I am forever grateful. The party kind of felt like I was returning home to myself and inviting everyone else in too. I know. Aww, it's really cute. It is really cute. I'm proud of myself. I've been so proud to just have a place where I can host my friends. Ugh, it's a hard one. And instead of loot bags, I gave people personalized headshots of me, because I have a bunch from when I was 16 or 17, in the days when you would give out your physical headshot at auditions. And then I printed so many out. I was 17. I wasn't auditioning 50 times. I had 50 headshots. And I'd personalized headshots I'd made for them. And so the back on everyone was a little handwritten note about how much I loved that specific person. A little moment of recognition. And my version of saying, I see you too. And there's a beautiful reciprocity in that. I'm learning. I'm not perfect at it. That giving doesn't always have to be matched tit for tat. It doesn't have to be equal in its exchange. Sometimes it just feels nice to give, to make something just because you can. And that's a form of love too. It's part of why I love crafting so much. And I received so many lovely, not just the presence of people, but physical gifts on my birthday. I don't even get to get into it, but I got a handmade candle. I got a painted microphone in the exact shade that is the one that I like. Yeah, I got a lot of very Allison-specific gifts. My friend gave me a planter that's shaped like a disco ball. Because if you're going to do some planting, you might as well make it a party. I got a bird feeder, like a specific cage bird feeder with the specific bird feed that the birds love. And they've been at my window every morning. And, ugh. It's not that I necessarily feel the need to give something back, because I cannot accept these things without giving something in return. I mean, a little bit. I'm working on that feeling. But just that it is so nice to feel so loved, and also to give. It's so nice to give. When you have a full cup or a full enough cup to give, it is a good feeling to give. When you don't, it's a terrible thing, but when you do, it's really nice. Anyways, we're moving on to part two. The sanctuary and the birds. There is a theme here. I do really like birds. I've gotten to that. I'm 30 now. I took my birthday off. Completely off. I fled capitalism like I was a runner. I'm not a runner. I fled capitalism like I was a fairy. She was a fairy. And I went to a bird sanctuary. I didn't work. I was like, you know what? The work will be there. The deadlines have been hit. And I have enough time when I get back to do things. And yeah. So I took the day off, which is kind of scary because it was on a Tuesday. And it makes kind of no sense that someone who's turning 30 should be able to, should is the key word here. I feel like I shouldn't be allowed to. And then I went, Allison, who's the one telling you? Literally nobody. I happen to have a life where I'm incredibly lucky, but also life that I've built for myself, and through my decisions and choices am in a place where I can take a day off for my birthday. No, I don't have dental insurance or health insurance, but or a retirement savings plan that's matched by my employer, but I can take a Tuesday off if I want to. And you know what? That's fine. I went to a bird sanctuary and it was so much fun. Oh my gosh. If you don't have Merlin Bird ID, the app, what are you doing with your life? If you like Pokemon, gathering things, catching things, sitting by a little stream and quietly listening, if you like any of those things, you got to get this app. It's called Merlin Bird ID. I'm almost certain that I've spoken about it on another podcast, but you know what? You can say things again because they're important. Merlin Bird ID is this incredible bird app. It's like Pokemon, but for birds, and it has a very specific feature that is like Shazam for birds. For those of you unfamiliar, all you have to do is press record sound, and it will record the bird song as long as you're quiet, and then it will help you identify what bird is singing that song. Isn't that so cool? And then it'll tell you facts about the bird. It'll show you a picture of the bird so you can know what bird it is. And you can download bird packs based on where you are or where you're going. So it could be a North America bird pack. It could be a Eastern Europe bird pack. And you could just explore. And that wasn't enough to sell you. Wait, there is more. You're directly contributing to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's research, because most of bird research, I'm learning, is actually community, not funded, but community resource, because there's so many birds everywhere. You know, the researchers cannot hope to track all of them by themselves. So they need your help, you dear listener. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume, and I know what happens when you assume, but you know what? I'm feeling good right now. So let me do this. Assume that you are a person who can listen. And I get that you might be doing cooking or cleaning or something else that's a little bit more active as you listen to this, but you have ears. Which means, and you can use them, which means you'd probably be really good at Merlin Bird IDing, because all you gotta do is go outside and listen. And I promise the birds will sing to you. Ugh, that was really sweet, actually. Just the sound of the wind through the trees, maybe a little stream, the rustle of a branch, and a bird song. And all you have to do is listen. I do love Merlin Bird ID because I think it makes you quiet. It forces you to be quiet, usually in nature. And I think if we all could take 10 minutes to just be quiet in nature every day, our nervous systems wouldn't be so shot all the time, you know? Sometimes I just listen to nature sounds. I close my eyes. And it's not quite the same thing, but it's close. And I'm very lucky to live in a place where I have easy access to nature. But if that's not available to you, you could create nature for yourself through a soundscape or buy a plant, which leads me to my second point, is that I bought plants. I have always wanted to grow things on my balcony. And I think this is the year of things actually happening that I want to. So I have some plants on my balcony. The flowers are growing and blooming. I have a couple more plants. I think I might become a plant girl. I mean, the low effort ones, because I'm not great at taking care of things over like a long period of time. Although I do have a pothos that refuses to die. I literally just water it when I remember to, and it's still going after many, many years. Actually, my friend Katie, who now lives far, like I have to take a boat to get there, and is a mom. Ugh. Actually, she comes up later in this podcast. Not Katie, just the fact that she's a mom. She was the one that went with me to buy that pothos from a plant store, and then helped me repot it in a really big plant pot. And she said it needs the room because it'll grow. And girl, it's been growing. It's been like 4 years. So I guess I am good at plants. Just the one, at least. I'm going slow. I'm going slow and steady. I remembered how good it feels to exist without needing to do anything. Which brings me to a quote that's been living rent-free in my head lately by Kafka. By believing passionately in something that still does not exist, we create it. One more time. By believing passionately in something that still does not exist, we create it. I'm pretty sure he's referencing art, but sometimes that something is rest, or community, or a life where we don't measure worth by output. We build it by believing in it, passionately, repeatedly, quietly, and eventually, just like that call, The Call by Regina Spektor, like that song, something that starts out as a quiet thought could become a quiet word, and then that word grows louder and louder until it's a battle cry. And I think passionate belief in stuff turns those thoughts into reality, into things that you can touch, that you can participate in, that could make the world better. I mean, that's so nice. It's such a nice thought, I think. Which also brings me to this, part three. You are what you eat from your head to your feet. Pajama Sam. I actually never played that Pajama Sam. Did you hear my brain just give up in the middle of that sentence? It's Pajama Sam. Pajama is not a word. Pajama Sam game. I've never played You Are What You Eat from your head to your feet because it doesn't work on my Mac. But I really love Thunder and Lightning Aren't So Frightening. It was the game I played growing up. And then also Thunder and Lightning Aren't So Frightening. But this, oh, there's, oh, yeah, Thunder and Lightning Aren't So Frightening, and There's No Need to Hide When It's Dark Outside. Those are the actual titles. I don't know what I said before. But Pajama Sam is so fun. It's a point-and-click sort of puzzle-based game. And the fun part about it, and this is a really long time ago, like, not really, but like the 90s, early 2000s, there was replayability because every time you played a new game, you'd have different puzzles to solve. And so back in the day, that's how we would give ourselves the gift of a game that had replayability. We found that really, really fun. Anyways, you are what you consume is what I'm trying to say. And I feel like I've said this before, but you are what you eat. Food, sure, but also media and friendship. I've noticed that the more I've moved away from productivity-focused content, hustle reels, how to optimize every breath, like this is how I work smarter and I get more done with my day. I don't feel the need to do more. I'm not like, oh, the day doesn't have enough hours in it. I'm like, the day has the perfect amount of hours in it for me to do some living. And I think that moving away from productivity-focused content and the milestones that I feel the need to reach for whatever sort of goal that I've set for myself arbitrarily, you know, like I'd rather do goal setting that's meaningful to me. And I feel more actually productive, hilariously, because my energy isn't being siphoned into shame, which we've learned is a very, very powerful motivator to a lot and can keep you in a chokehold and keep you from progressing a lot of the time. Since moving away from productivity-focused content and moving into simple living content or art stuff. I literally reprogrammed my algorithms to show me creators that actually create art, and they're not just trying to steal my attention for likes, clicks, and revenue. They're actually sharing something, like a tip on how to grow this specific plant, how to cook with this specific food, or how to create a card that you can fold 20 different ways. Or this one that I saw the other day was really cool. A person who was showing you how to fold a letter Victorian style, apparently, so that the letter itself becomes the envelope, and then you don't need an envelope. And as someone who loves to letter write and sometimes is just stuck with a sheet of paper and a postage stamp, you could just mail that. I didn't know, because I always thought that you had to put it in an envelope. So now I have that knowledge, and I find myself more rested, more present, more me. There's now room for original thought and what I want to surface. And that means I have more to give, hilariously. More to give to my work, my art, and my people. I've been making pretty great strides in all facets of my life, but this podcast is still going. I'm also surprised, but I've been getting really encouraging notes from people. And if you're listening and you were one of those people, shout out Catherine, shout out Peter, know that I so appreciate your kind words. And as much as the metaphor of the lighthouse shining on in the dark, even if nobody is listening, it's really akin to the feeling of shining that light out on a dark sea on a stormy night and seeing one boat bobbing along out there with another light talking right back. And it is the best feeling. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I'm glad that this has helped in some small way to soothe or to just make you feel less alone and maybe make you think a little bit about what it means to be a person. Not too much. I don't want your brain to hurt. Please, please take care of yourself. But maybe just enough to help unravel some things and reweave them into something magnificent made just for you. And part four, that takes us to part four, which is the gift of space. One of the greatest joys of turning 30 has been this: having people over again. Not just hosting, but providing space. Listen, rent is expensive. It is expensive everywhere. It's expensive where I live. But when I fill this space with laughter and food and good conversation and silly little trivia games, and I put up decorations that I've had since I was a kid. When I was in 2006, I think I was 11. My 11th birthday party was in my old house, and I had it Hollywood themed because I knew even back then I wanted to become an actor. And things have shaken out real differently. 29 years later. No, not 29 years later. 19 years later. I can't do math. That's why I became an actor. But my mom sent me home with those decorations. And listen, the price tag is still on them. They were like $5. And yet, I've held on to them. She held on to them for whatever reason. So it felt really appropriate that for my 30th, I would take out these decorations, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a little film slate that said VIPs only, and stickers, window stickers, and just post them everywhere. And I would make it an event to remember, and I would decorate. And I remember working with my mom to put up those decorations like in the basement, because that's where we had that party. I was 11. And just thinking about how cool it would be if one day I actually went to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I have. It's very dirty and it smells weird. But I've been there. And I lived in LA for a long time. And did that whole thing. I am an actor. Maybe not in the way that I thought I'd be, where I was world famous and an A-list star and, you know, honestly, probably mentally very all over the place if that was the case. But no, I've been working. I'm a working actor. I've been creating. And I think she would be very, very proud of the woman that I grew into. And I would be so proud to see her and just say, hey, it's fun. It's so fun over here. You get an apartment and you paint the walls with your friend Charlie in colors that you love. And it feels like there's a sunrise and a sunset in your living room and people witness it with you. What a gift. I love when space becomes a little sanctuary. Like that bird sanctuary, but this time with charcuterie and a playlist. And my friend just brought a charcuterie board. And I just had to show her my earrings that were made of, I mean, resin, I presume. But it was I have charcuterie board earrings. And I think that's very me, just because I love a little meat and cheese plate. And in the summer, one of my favorite things to do is to bike to the beach with a baguette. And just like meats and cheeses, and then just yank some, you know, just rip it apart and just go to town. Have a good time. The French know how to live, you know what I mean? So that's what I want for my 30s. Less about proving. I don't gotta prove nothing to nobody. I could win all the awards I want, and attention spans are so short that people would forget about it. I'd forget about it. I want to be present. More presence, please. And, oh, there's an ambulance. After that, you know, wild birthday, oh, hold on, oh, wow, what a wild siren. All right, I'm back. I took a little break, but one of those breaks where maybe I went on my phone and then completely forgot about what I was supposed to be doing. I have come up with a word for this, and it's just stuck. I mean, it's a word that makes sense in the context, but like capital S stuck, and it's when you get pulled in your phone when you didn't mean to. And most of the time when it comes to recording these, I actually do them all in one, and if I'm pausing, it's just because there's like a siren or I need to get more water or something like that. But today I got distracted. That's bad. That's okay. I'm trying to be more present and literally just be here. So I'm here now, and just in time to give you a little closing note, which is for the ones who forgot they were loved. I've been thinking a lot about a newborn, my friend's daughter, actually Katie's, and how she sent me this beautiful photo, and I immediately, my heart welled up, my eyes filled with tears. I wasn't able to see Katie for her baby shower because my car broke down literally on the ramp before I got on the boat, and her baby shower gift is literally still in its bag with its tissue paper and everything. And I'm like, at this point, the baby's going to grow out of needing this thing that I got for it, but that's okay. The point of this is that I saw this image of this baby and I was like, oh, something in me just shook a little bit in a really nice way of love. She doesn't even know she's loved, not really, but she is. She is loved fiercely, completely, wholly. I didn't even know her. I've not even met her, and I love her. She's so precious. Oh my goodness. And I just wonder, when did we forget that about ourselves? You know, I used to feel really, I don't know, rebellious, I guess, specifically when I was a teenager, but I was really rebellious about the fact that, you know, you're loved just because you exist, because I said, I haven't done anything to prove that I'm even worth taking up the space that I take up. And I, you know, high productivity high school, very ambitious, driven. I thought that you had to earn your place to be loved, and I was upset that I was just loved for being who I am. I mean, yeah, that's a wild way to live, but it's how I did. And realizing that you don't actually need to prove anything to be loved, just the fact that you're here, like the magic of your existence and all the stars that had to line up just to get you here in the first place, that is a little, life is a little miracle, you know, the fact that somebody grew eyes and teeth and you know, your eyes and teeth and inside of their body, and now you're outside of their body, like that's what. Anyways, not to get too sciencey and gross with it, but you know, if no one's told you this lately, let me. You were born loved, not for what you did, not for how useful you were, just for being. And maybe that love comes from a different source. Maybe it wasn't your direct parents. I know that many people have a very unique relationship with their parents or a different relationship than, you know, being loved by those people. But just the fact that you exist, and I know it's going to sound really woo-woo, but the universe loves you. I love you. Because you're here. You're here at the same time that I'm here. Like, whatever events led to us being and sharing this audio space at the same time is something worth cherishing. And so because you exist and I exist right now, we can share this. And I love that. And all we had to do was just be. So I believe that if we can believe in that again, even just a little, maybe we can build lives around it. Lives full of laughter and birds, soup dumplings, handmade headshots. Lives that are already enough. Until next time, sleep well, drink lots of water, and tell the people you love them. Good night.